WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy 25th anniversary to us. Happy fall in October to you. Happy Clinchmas to everybody that was celebrating last week for the Orioles. And now we sit and we wait. We thought it might be Seattle. We thought it might be Houston. We knew it wasn't Minnesota, but it's going to be the Texas Rangers and the Toronto Blue Jays this week. Alan McCallum has talked to us baseball. Rick Dempsey, Doug DeSensei is going back into the Wayback Machine to talk some Brooks Robinson with Rick Vaughn and Charlie Steinberg this week and Eric Fisher, among some others. This guy here was I don't even know where to begin with you. I mean, what a week this was for you. I feel a little bad because, you know, they've thrown me out. Not my fault, really. But, like, I can't even help you. And, like, next week they're going to play games and we're going to go on the road, the baseball team, and the football team's going to be in London. You're not even going to miss practice. How about that? What do you think of that?
Good timing, right? Absolutely good timing with the division series coinciding with the Ravens going to London, taking on the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be strange, Nestor. Not going to be in Pittsburgh Sunday, game two of the ALDS.
I got baseball to watch. I've always wanted to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. And based on how the Steelers looked and how the rest of the AFC North looked, I think that it's appropriate at the, you know, the quarter mark, not really the quarter mark with 17 games anymore or now, but I think you look at what happened Sunday for the Ravens. You know, they go to Cleveland. I think most people were anticipating a close game. Browns defense off to a great start. Ravens offense looks great in Cincinnati, but it's been very choppy. I think we would all admit that. The expectation, even as of Saturday, multiple reports indicating Deshaun Watson, who, let's be clear, I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he's certainly far better, far more established, far more confidence-inspiring than Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who I kept wanting to call Dorian Green or Doriel Green Beckham, the wide receiver in the draft about 10 years ago. But we wake up Sunday morning and suddenly Deshaun Watson is not playing. And you have a Cleveland Browns team that is going with a fifth round rookie quarterback who they flat out admitted they weren't anticipating him playing. And yeah, he got some reps and you can talk about that. And he had a nice preseason, yada, yada, yada. We knew what was going to happen with this game, most likely, from the moment that Watson was ruled out. We knew.
Well, I
want
to ask you about that because, like, I don't want to say I didn't talk about it last week at all because we talked so much baseball last week. It was a baseball week around here. That's what I said to you 2 weeks ago. Like, the Ravens are going to get no oxygen. We're going to talk about it for 5 minutes on Monday. We're going to talk about it 5 minutes next Sunday. Then they're going to London. They're going to talk about it at breakfast. I'm going to be up at Hollywood Casino. It's been the strangest period of time where I go out and walk the streets and no one, I mean, I'm wearing a baseball shirt, courtesy of our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I picked this up on Friday. Everybody's into sort of the orange spirit of this, but the football team, I think, could quietly be 5-1, 6-1, wherever they're going to be. And they're going to be in first place because these other teams in the division really stink. And the Ravens don't stink. The Ravens are just beaten up. I think the Ravens could be good if you bring all their players. They could be very good. But they haven't looked really good in a month. They've looked good enough to be 3-1.
Yeah, they've looked good enough to be 3-1. And they're a couple plays away from being 4-0. And yeah, I get it. Backup quarterback the previous week, although they lost to Gardner Minshew in Indianapolis. But you just said it. I mean, this is at the quarter mark, roughly speaking now, you look around the rest of the division. I mean, Cleveland, if Deshaun Watson's shoulder is okay after their bye week, you can talk me into the Browns potentially being a good team still. I mean, their defense was bad in the second quarter, but it was excellent the rest of the time.
When I say good team, I mean get to 10 or 11 wins.
No, of course.
10-7's a good team these days, right?
Exactly, and I'm right. So you can convince me of that, but let's call a spade at this point in time. The Cincinnati Bengals look like a disaster right now. I mean, statistically, it's awful. Joe Burrow can't move. How much of that is his lack of mobility? How much of that is Zach Taylor's offense maybe being figured out at this point in time? You and I have talked at different points over the last few years, as well as the Bengals have played, as really good as they've been at times. I've stated on a few occasions that I wasn't convinced that Zach Taylor is this amazing coach.
Who's their left tackle, by the way?
Orlando Brown.
Yeah. And who would have never been a left tackle here? This organization looked at him 5-6 years ago and said, we don't want him protecting the court. We're certainly not going to pay him $25 million a year. Like, that was I mean, they've made a lot of decisions after the Super Bowl that the fans, they wear the white, they're spending a lot of money on tickets in Cincinnati. It's a $200 get in. I mean, it's like it was here when Ray Lewis was dancing to go to a Cincinnati Bengals game, which blows my mind. But they sort of gone in the other direction after the Super Bowl in regard to where the Ravens would be if they went to the Super Bowl this year 2 years from now. You'd say, well, their quarterback's making $50 million a year. They haven't drafted in the same way because they're drafting in a, they're not getting lottery picks anymore like the Orioles. They're not getting 1-1s anymore once you start making the playoffs, right? So for me with the Bengals, they were never like a great organization. They got the quarterback and they had the lightning in a bottle 2 years ago. I thought it was sustainable, but sustainable takes everything you're talking about. Not giving Orlando Brown money to be your left tackle. That's what makes things sustainable.
I'm not going to say anything about their left tackle when the Ravens are paying a guy $100 million over the last few years. You can't stay on the field. Orlando Brown posts up every week. And I'll full disclosure, I didn't watch Cincinnati play on Sunday. I was watching the Ravens. I don't know how he performed. Orlando Brown's the least of their worries. I think they have so many other issues.
But the offensive line was their worry all along. That was their worry in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
But I think it's way bigger than that.
Fair
Joe Burrow's not healthy in the same way that Lamar Jackson wasn't healthy at the end of last year or the year before that. So not to get, let's not get too hung up on the Bengals right now, but they're a mess. Who's coming to get you?
And it's not them.
At this point, it's not looking good for them. There's no question about that, especially when you look at their schedule. Now, they do have their bye coming up in a couple weeks, but three of their next four opponents are against playoff teams from a year ago. So they're certainly in a spot where this could get way worse very quickly. And maybe the theme here to talk about more so as it pertains to what we just witnessed in Cleveland on Sunday is they don't have a backup quarterback. I mean, look, Tyler Huntley, we know, is not actually a Pro Bowl quarterback, and that was the punchline last year. And, it was a total joke that he was named an alternate and all of that. And Josh Johnson is this career journeyman who's been around forever. But look at who Cincinnati's backup quarterback – look at their backup quarterback situation, and you can see why – they've really had no choice but to say, well, we're going to see if Joe Burrow can play through it. And he wants to do it. And they have no shot if he's not out there. But the problem is they're not having much of a shot with him out there. On the flip side, bringing it back to the Browns here for a moment, and we'll get to the Steelers because there's plenty to talk about with them too. But the Browns, they traded Joshua Dobbs in late August. A guy who, by the way, despite the fact that we know the Cardinals are far from great and they were expected to be the worst team in the NFL, he's actually played pretty well. So you see that. You look at the decision that they made to trade their veteran backup quarterback out to the desert in Arizona because this kid, Thompson Robinson, and look, I don't want to pick on him too much. He's a fifth-round rookie. He's a fifth-round rookie in the first month of his NFL career pertaining to the regular season.
It feels like they told him he was going to play Friday night, right? Literally, like...
I don't even know that, though, Nestor. I mean, national reporters were still saying as of Saturday evening that Watson was going to play.
By the way, this is where the point spread thing and the gambling thing drives me out of my mind.
Of course.
I mean, my picks last week, I took the Browns because I made my picks on Wednesday or Thursday.
Too.
And, if you would have told me that kid's playing quarterback, I mean, the game was almost a little bit of a joke. It was like a little bit of a push. Once you got out, he got out there and ran around, you're like, he's not. Once they got the 14-3, I think the game's over. There's no way they're going to be able to push the ball down the field unless they play defense, strip Lamar. As I tweeted, when the ball hit the carpet the second time in the first quarter, I'm like, the only way they're going to lose is if they kick the ball around, because this kid cannot play.
Yeah. No doubt. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, to me, it started to look like organizational malpractice that they traded Josh Dobbs and handed the backup job to this kid by the second Cleveland drive, when he throws way behind the receiver, gets knocked up in the air, and Brandon Stevens makes a great play and returns it to the 10, and the Ravens are up 7-0, despite the fact their offense hadn't done anything to that point.
He never threw the ball down the field again after that.
Actually, they did. They chucked it down. He chucked it down the field, but it was aimless, right? I mean, right. You could tell. And again, I don't want to pick on him too much. Shame on them for putting a fifth-round rookie in the spot. And people will say, well, Tyler Huntley's a former undrafted rookie, but Tyler Huntley's rookie year, RG3 was still the Ravens' backup quarterback at that point in time. It wasn't until Griffin was hurt late that season and the following year when the Ravens handed the reins, the backup reins to Tyler Huntley. So crazy. Absolutely crazy. I mean, organizational malpractice, but it's the Browns. What do you expect? So you look at that, you saw very early on in that game that their offense was not going to mount much. Keep in mind, they're also missing Nick Chubb, who's gone for the year, lost in week two, and he had been the anchor of everything they did offensively, you know, before Deshaun Watson. So they're hurting in that regard. But I think if you're John Harbaugh, you're Todd Monken, you're Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, by the end of the first quarter, it was evident, like you said, unless we give the ball away, unless we're turning the ball over, and they did turn it over in the second quarter on a fumble on their first promising drive of the game, not counting the 10-yard touchdown run from Lamar after the pick. You saw them, though, at that point in time. They finally came alive in the second quarter. They had the two very impressive touchdown drives. But other than that, after that, they played it safe the rest of the way. And they did not gain much yardage. I think they had, 47 yards total in the second half. But they didn't need to do more than that. This was one of those games where keep the clock going. Run the ball, even if you're only getting 2-3 yards a pop. Try to, if Lamar's going to throw, get the ball out quickly, because the last thing you want is to get him hurt, especially when Morgan Moses leaves late in the first half. And this is one of those games where you knew from the time that it was 14-3, like you said, you knew that there was nothing Cleveland was going to be able to do other than you turning the ball over, them taking the ball away from you to give them any realistic shot of winning this football game. So as I wrote, I don't think this is a 28-3 result against a team playing a fifth-round rookie quarterback. It's not an eye-popping result that's going to earn you these style points or the eyeball test of, wow, this is a really great football team. But they did what no one else in the AFC North could do on Sunday. They won. And we already mentioned the Bengals, the Browns. I thought what was interesting about this, Nestor, and maybe the CBS guys were just talking because there was nothing to talk about in the fourth quarter, but they alluded to the fact that there could be long-term concern about Watson's shoulder. I mean, they mentioned his rotator cuff. So if this is more than a week or two thing for him, they're done. I mean, I don't – and their defense is good. You know, maybe the hype was a bit much going into week four, but their defense is legit. Like, it's good. But at the same time, it's not good enough to sustain, to overcome what they dealt with on the opposite side of the ball, which was a rookie quarterback going up against what we already knew was a good defense. The Ravens defense didn't have anything to prove on Sunday. They went out and did their thing, and Kyle Van Noy was added to the mix, and he looked good, and they harassed this kid, and they blitzed, and they brought pressure from different places, and they picked him off three times, and they sacked him four times, and they shut down the run, which would have been his only chance to really feel like he could do anything against this defense.
Well, them losing Chubb's way worse than us losing Dobbins. I mean,
at this point, yeah, sure. I mean, especially if there's, and I want to be clear, I'll keep coming back to this because it's important to note this. I'm not talking about Deshaun Watson in terms of the guy that was the borderline top five quarterback that he was in Houston. Yeah. Deshaun Watson has struggled. He looked good this past week. But other than that, going back to the end of last year when he took over, he has not played well for them. However, there's a difference between having questions about how great, how good your franchise quarterback is and what we saw on Sunday, which was not even having a capable backup quarterback. And maybe Thompson Robinson at some point in time becomes that. And let's be clear, Kevin Stefanski's game plan, and it was apparent with some of the stuff they were trying to run, at least early on, that wasn't catered towards a fifth-round rookie. That was for Deshaun Watson. They thought he was going to play. They said it. They said it during the telecast. Every expectation was he was going to play. So for them to have to pivot in that spot, it really put him in an impossible position. But
well, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt for anything, right? From the fan base there. I mean, he's a serial predator. Let's just call that whatever that was, where whatever was going on in Houston was not something you and I are doing in our spare time. And the fans there, the guaranteed money, I mean, whatever expectation we have for Lamar or Cincinnati would have for Joe Burrow, who's been to a Super Bowl, so at least there's been a little bit of a payoff for that. The fans there, if dare I say jaking it, because I wouldn't say that, but if the coach is telling the world, they're telling the gamblers he's playing on Friday, and on Sunday morning he's not playing, they bring him in and say, what happened? Or, that's the part that was a little bit disconcerting to me, in the same way that the last game I really ever had a press pass that Chad Steele left me was the one in Chicago 2 years ago. And in that Chicago game, we showed up Lamar practiced on Friday. Everybody reported that he was going to play. And then Tyler Huntley shows up. And they're wondering why we're even asking questions in the postgame about it. But the Cleveland fans should have questions about this. And especially if, man, rotator cuff. I mean, that's like, we'll get to Felix Batista in a little bit with Tommy John and where he is in making that decision. But, man, when it's a $260 million quarterback, if there's a real problem, it's a problem beyond on the field. It's going to be a problem with the fans, the community, obviously the salary cap. I mean, if he has a real problem and misses a year in that way, that's where these guaranteed contracts, it'll all come back on the – we'll all start feeling sorry for Steve Bisciotti for having to pay these guys. And poor Mr. Haslam, who has his own criminal issues, paying these guys $50, $60 million guaranteed money, you know, it kind of – it brings back the chances of a Chris Davis – or one of those, oh my God, contracts, because he's the only one, he's the first one, a few more got real money right now. But when you're guaranteed money and you're the quarterback and you don't post up on Sunday, now they got a bye week. If there's a tragedy here and he has to undergo surgery, that's just an unbelievable thing for the league, I think.
Well, I mean, noted everything you just said. I mean, I still come back to, you can't have a fifth round rookie as your backup quarterback. I mean, you just can't. Period. You've got to be better. And that's coming from the guy that, believe me, you know, I'm also the guy that says don't spend $8 million on your veteran backup quarterback either. But they had Josh Dobbs, I think, on a $1.5 million contract or $2 million contract. And I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he would have led the Browns to a victory on Sunday, but they would have had a hell of a lot better chance than they did going up against a Ravens defense that looks really good and has looked really good every week since the season started. To have a fifth-round rookie, I mean, boy, did they get caught up in the preseason, which is another reminder of preseason football, fake football, as you and I would say we're lighthearted in how we talk about it, but people get
on a Monday morning when you get your ass kicked 28-3, you can't say, we flashed in August.
Exactly. and that's my whole point. So, the Browns are the Browns, right? And I would even say their defense, as well as their defense played for stretches of that game. And again, we talked about the fact that really it came down to the Ravens coming alive in the second quarter offensively. That is still a team that has so much losing in its DNA that defense, I'm sure after the first few drives, they saw that their offense couldn't do a darn thing. And this kid was completely overwhelmed at quarterback. Unlike the Ravens, whose defense held up so well the last, you know, last year specifically, not so much the year before, but held up so well down the stretch last year, despite Lamar Jackson not being out there and despite the offense not being able to do very much, there was a difference of the Ravens' resiliency, the Ravens' mettle, so to speak, compared to what the Browns have been, which is, you know, if things are going great, they feel good, but if things start to go sideways, here we go again. Woe is me. That kind of mindset that I think a losing organization is going to have. So I think it added up to terrible offense for them and a defense that, you know, despite all of its, all the accolades over the first 3 weeks of the season, they couldn't play a full 60 minutes. And even if they did, it still wasn't going to matter because all the Ravens needed was that first touchdown from Lamar Jackson. That was all the scoring they would need when your opponent can only manage a 53-yard field goal and that's it.
Yeah, I didn't talk to Schwartz last week, but that third quarter, I'm saying, man, these guys have got to be getting gassed. They're out there a lot. They're going to be out there even more in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's part of the issue with the quarterback being so bad is that it puts an unnatural tax on your defense. Not just psychologically, you have to take the ball away. You're the only chance to win. We had that here with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis for a period of time back during the Bowler administration. But I would say that just the fatigue factor of having a defense out on the field that much and knowing when your backup quarterback plays, you can't win and your defense is going to get the hell beaten out of you.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say this. The time of possession was just about even. Yeah, the plays, I mean, Cleveland actually ran more offensive plays than the Ravens because the Ravens, like we said, other than the second quarter, didn't do much offensively. So, but I think for me, this is a case where normally you would, what you just said, I would agree, but I think this was much more the mental side of it. I think the Ravens just made Cleveland wilt across the board. And even their defense, which I do think is very talented. And we still, you know, there were concerns. I couldn't have been the only one who exhaled a little bit when Tyler Huntley went in for Lamar Jackson, knowing that Myles Garrett in the Cleveland front couldn't tee off on Lamar anymore, because they did get after him some. You know, there's no question about that, especially when you're missing your two offensive tackles. So this was a case of, I think you saw very early on what kind of game it was going to be, what your opponent could, or in this case, could not do offensively. And I think the Ravens adjusted accordingly. And aside from one turnover, they played the kind of game that they needed to play to win. And when you say that, and the final score is 28-3, that says something about you. It says a lot about your opponent and how bad they were. But let's also give credit where credit's due. This was a football team that went out and won a game on the road in the AFC North and didn't even feel like they had to play their absolute best game to do it. And that should be saying something about this team's potential moving forward, if they can finally stay healthy at some point in time.
Around here, we say we're on to Pittsburgh this week, but actually we're on to, I don't know who we're on to. Might be on to Tampa, might be on to Texas. We're going to find that out. Luke's going to be covering baseball and football all week. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next Friday. It's my birthday. The 14th is my birthday. On Friday the 13th, made some movies about that, I think. Friday the 13th, we're going to be at Drug City in Dundalk. Good friends with us. We'll have the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. Also, big appreciation to our friends at Win Donation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our newest sponsor at Jiffy Lube Multi-Care. Get in and out, quick oil change, and more. We'll learn more about that all season long here. It is our 25th anniversary. I'm wearing my Curio shirt, Curio Wellness, and Far and Daughter over on York Road. Giving away shirts if you make a purchase of $80 or more. At least that was the deal on Friday until while they last. I got a medium. Should I have gotten a large? I don't know. I'm going to have to wear this all month. Luke and I are gearing up to go to some godforsaken place like Florida or Texas next week. Not Canada, but Luke did have his passport out. We'll worry about that maybe in the ALCS. Who knows who's going to be down the far line here. But it's a baseball week. We're going to be watching baseball wall-to-wall this week, getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. I can be found under my namesake at LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all of those social media places. We're going to talk some more Ravens football and certainly their offense and get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. But it's all about game one on Saturday. And Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.